We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you.
I sure do love you, PG.
Thank you.
I've known you for, I don't know, like 14 years or something like that. Long time. We're friends. We're not just, you know, we're not just ministers together, though we do that. But we're friends. We're friends. We would
close friends.
We would do whatever it took to help one another. I could call you and you would live on the other side of the world. So if I call you at 3 in the afternoon,
I'll come.
It's 3 in the morning there, but you would get up and come. I know you would. And what I want to talk about, and I want them just to hear us. I know they're there, but I want to talk about how the kingdom of God comes. I'll set it up, and I'm going to ask you some questions because I want to hear some stories again. When we use the word apostle, sometimes I'm afraid that it'll sound like we're talking about Christian ministry CEOs. And that's not what we mean. The kingdom of God never comes apart from suffering. And there is a such a thing. I'm going to use there is such a thing as apostolic suffering and apostolic poverty. So that when the apostle Paul, who was, you know, he was regularly, people said, he's not an apostle, because he hadn't been one of the 12, and he hadn't seen Jesus like they had. And so people were often saying, well, I'm not so sure he's an apostle. And when he had to defend his apostleship, if you notice, he really didn't say anything about the miracles that he had seen or worked. He makes passing reference. Mm-hmm. He does talk about some visions, but he really doesn't talk about miracles. But what he goes into great lengths in, he defends his apostleship by saying, and he hated to do it. He said, I hate to do this, to defend my apostleship, but you Corinthians have made me do it, so I'll defend it. And he told them account after account after account of his suffering. So he didn't go from the Damascus Road to being a CEO of a Christian ministry. Mm-hmm. He went from being a respected, esteemed member of the Sanhedrin, a kind of professor with tenure, having received an excellent education at the feet of Gamaliel. So he's highly educated, and he was an esteemed colleague within the school of the Pharisees. And he went from there to being an apostle for Christ, which involved tremendous suffering. Reject. He says, I'm poorly clothed. At times I don't have enough to eat. He says, I think sometimes that God has exhibited we apostles as last of all. We are regarded as the scum of the earth. That's what he says. And that principle, that pattern doesn't really change. We want to pretend it does. We want to pretend that the kingdom of God comes in kind of a corporate CEO, just, you know, put up the right billboards and marketing campaigns, and that's how it comes, but it never comes. It comes through death, burial, and resurrection, and it comes amidst apostolic suffering. One of the times, and I've been to India, I think, I don't know, 13 times, something like that, I don't know. I think that's the right number. But one of the times I was there with you, you took me on a little journey into your own past. Mm-hmm. And you grew up, we would say, I know I'm using American terms and it's not completely accurate, but bear with me. You grew up what we might describe kind of as middle class.
Upper middle class.
But then, and you were then in the army and all of that, but then when you followed Christ into ministry, and you went to, was it Pathankot you went first? Or
Katra.
Katra, yes, Perinos, thank you. When you went to Katra first, start telling us what your life, how old were you at that time?
Do I have the permission to cry?
They have the permission to cry, and you always have the permission to cry, yeah.
I got a soft heart, so when I speak about my life with Christ, I cry. I believe that real men cry. Real men cry. And I'm a man. I was born in a rich man's house. My father was called Sir in the village. and I was called Little Sir. When I will walk through the street, people will give me, not everybody, but at least one third of the population in my village, give me way.
They'd step aside.
Yes, yeah. Step aside. Then I joined the army. Army made me a tough and bad guy. Then at the age of 29, on 1st October 1971, I had an encounter with Lord Jesus Christ. It changed my life. Immediately I wanted to preach, and I preached. After a year, on the 13th month of my Christian life, I resigned my job. My wife is a trained teacher. She left her job. And we went to Katra in Kashmir, a Hindu pilgrim center. I told you last time when I was here, when I got into the bus, I did not have the bus fare. I had plenty of money in the bank. I had land, I had a house. But I gave everything away. And I started my Christian ministry with an empty pocket. I wanted to make an experiment to know whether Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's the same, he must sustain me the same way he sustained the apostles. So I wanted to make a test. So I entered the bus without any money in my pocket. As I was entering the bus, somebody put, I know the person, I'll be meeting him next year again. I meet him once in a while. He put 70 Indian dollars in my pocket. I got the bus fare. I don't know what should have happened if he did not put that money. And when I reached my land, my promised land, Katra, which is a Hindu pilgrim center, where 3,000 people at that time in 72 were coming every day, 3,000 people coming, going every day, 365 days, climbing the mountain day and night. I did not have any money. I rented a room for 40 Indian rupees. I purchased a liter of milk for 2 rupees. I was broke. I prayed to God, God, if you will give, it is an Indian prayer. I prayed like this, Lord, if you will feed me, I will live here. Otherwise, I die. My body will become manure in the soil of Kashmir, but I will not go back.
That's a pretty radical prayer. You said that, but I don't want people to miss that. You said, God, if you give me bread, I'll live. If you don't, I'll die, and my body will become manure here in the soil of Kashmir, but I'm not going to leave. And that's not just something, you didn't pray that in an air-conditioned building at a revival meeting and then forget about it by the time you got to the car that you didn't own. You prayed that there, and it was either going to happen or not.
I fell flat on the concrete floor, and I prayed because I did not have even a penny in my pocket. And God was very kind to me when I was crying. Let me tell you one story, story number 385.
You have a lot more than that, but okay.
One day, my pastor came to visit me. He lives about 50 kilometers away, that is 30 miles away. He came to visit me at 11 o'clock. And my wife started to do like this. When an Indian woman will do like this, that means she's frightened. Much problem. And she said, we have no rice, no wheat flour, no sugar, no tea leaves. Pastor has come at 11 o'clock. We have to give him some food, lunch. What we will do? I said, Lily, look into every jar we have. Maybe there is some rice or something like that. So she had about 15 jars there. She started to shake everything, and finally she got a handful of basmati rice, very expensive. Somebody gave. She was keeping it for emergency. But she did not remember that. So I said, okay, good, cook it. She said, what about vegetables? You cannot eat rice like that. You need some gravy. I said, let me look. I started to look and I found a can of sardines, fish, which I got from the army. I was an army sergeant. It was there. So I opened it and gave it to her. I said, fish and rice. And we had half a glass of milk. On that day, I had only little money. So I purchased only one glass of milk. Normally, I buy 1 liter milk. But that day, because I did not have money, I purchased only one glass of milk. So we fed the baby. Our baby was 1 year. And we were left with half a glass of milk. Don't try this in your home. It won't work. She put it in a plate and put it under the sun so that it will become yogurt. She added some lemon juice. Don't try it. Your milk will be spilled.
They're not going to try it, I'm pretty sure.
And she prayed, God, let not this milk split. Do a miracle. Make it wonderful yogurt. And she put it in such a place that the monkeys will not come and get it. That place is a Hindu pilgrim center. Any Hindu pilgrim center in India has hundreds of monkeys.
This is true.
So
everywhere.
She put it in such a way, such a place that the monkeys will not get them. And so after some time she looked. It was perfectly thick yogurt. So we put I had a small table which I made and a small wooden chair. And I told to the pastor, have lunch. He said, Varghese, you also come. I said, no. You eat after you go. Myself and my wife, we will sit together and eat. Because we did not have enough. So I put the food before him. He looked at, he smelled the basmati rice. He said, Varghese, we are eating cheap rice. You are eating basmati rice. God has blessed you with foreign money. And he said, see, we are eating cheap fish. You are eating canned fish. Whew, God blessed you, Varghese. He was very happy. He was not jealous. And he said, see, we add some water into the yogurt, but you have got thick yogurt. God has really blessed you. I was eating. I may cry. My wife in the kitchen, she was praying, Lord, let the pastor eat only half of the rice. Because our son did not have anything to eat. So if he will leave some rice, my son will have some food. And the pastor, he eats very little. He ate the half of the rice. My wife was happy. As he was leaving, my wife took those plates. We were living in 2 rooms. 1 room and a kitchen. That is all. 1.5 rooms. That is our house. That is our sitting room, dining room, living room, toilet room, bathroom, every room.
Yeah. I mean,
he was there.
Yeah.
He was in that
room. How big
is it? 10 by 10 feet. That is our main room. 10 by 10 feet. And a small kitchen.
Did you get that? Okay.
She put the food in the kitchen, closed the door. She did not lock it. And then we came out. The pastor prayed for us, and he was leaving. He doesn't know this story so far. He was leaving. We walked out with him. And there was something, and he said, Varghese, God has blessed you. I'm so happy. May God bless you more. And he was leaving, and we sat there, bye-bye. Then we heard the sound of a plate falling. Lily ran to the kitchen. There was a big monkey standing there that lifted the plate and ate all the rice. And drop the plate.
Dang monkeys.
My son was hungry on that day. He was hungry on the next day. He was hungry on the third day. On the third day, he got up in the morning and he said, Daddy, I'm so hungry. Can you give me a cup of tea? I said, son, I tried to sell a Bible yesterday. I went from shop to shop. But nobody purchased a New Testament or a Bible. I don't have any money. He was very intelligent even at that time. Just 1.5 year old boy. He said, that's okay. Give me a little water. I will drink it and go to sleep again. My father always had 6-7 cows. I never knew what is poverty. I never knew what is hunger. But here my son is asking for a little water to drink, and he said he will go to sleep. People ask me, what happened to him? Did it affect his brain? Do you know how many degrees he has now? Bachelor's in science, master's in science, master's in divinity from Oral Roberts University, Tulsa, Oklahoma, doctorate in theology, MBA from Minnesota, and another degree. He got 6 degrees. He's smart.
He is smart. I know him. Yeah.
He's smart. So suffering, I never welcomed it, but I'm not afraid of it. I will not run away from suffering. People ask me, Varghese, if you have to go through the same way of suffering for another 5 years, my first 5 years, days of suffering, no chair, no food. I saw my second story, 452. One day I was standing on the street. I was distributing tracts. I went to a shop. I knew the young man there. He owned that shop. I talked to him. His name is Kim. And then he said, your wife is going there. I looked at her. She was going with Abby, my son. He was 1.5 years old. She was carrying him. And when she was walking, she could not see me. There's a lot of people, hundreds of people going and coming. And when she was walking, she lifted the baby up. I saw her underclothes from the top of her dress. I thought I failed as a husband to buy her clothes. That is not my background. That is not her background. We were not interested in food. We were not interested in clothes. But do you know what happened? In 1 year time, we baptized 100 people. In 1 year time. You may think 100 is not a big number. But in a pioneer, you try to win a Hindu in this city. You will know how hard it is. Nobody ever baptized 100 people in their life. Nobody ever baptized 20 people in their lifetime. No foreigner, no Indian. But we had the privilege because we did not quit. Hmm. So we are here again.
Tell the story about, you know, because I don't know if they're getting it. I'm trying to say that the kingdom comes when people are willing to sacrifice, and yet God shows himself faithful. But that doesn't eliminate the possibility or the requirement that somebody has to suffer. Somebody has to sacrifice. We have this idea that the kingdom of God comes apart from suffering, but it doesn't. And so, tell the chair. You didn't have a chair. You didn't even have a chair. You lived in this 10x10 concrete box, and you had nothing. You had newspapers, and not a chair.
You want this?
I want to hear that story.
We did not have any furniture. As I told you, I'm born and brought up in a family of luxury. Yeah. And then we have no furniture, no bed. We were sleeping on newspapers. And we did not have a blanket. And the temperature goes to 30, 35 in the winter. It snows there. So, and the rooms are not air conditioned. Rooms are not even airtight. So when it is snowing outside, it is so chilly. We go to sleep with all our clothes, so it will be warm. Myself and my wife and our son, we keep the baby between us so that he will be warm enough. And we will put all our clothes over us. That helps us. So one day, I'm a hard worker. I go to the bus station to distribute tracts at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I will come back at 8 o'clock, have my breakfast, go at 9 o'clock, come back at 12, have my lunch, go at 1 o'clock, come back at 4 o'clock. And then I will have a cup of tea if there is tea, or a glass of hot water, if there is kerosene to heat the water.
Kerosene.
Yeah. How do you say that?
Kerosene. Yeah.
Sin. Kerosene. Yeah. And one day I came back at, then myself and my wife.
PG usually interprets for me, but sometimes I interpret for him.
God, thank you. Then myself and my wife, we will go to 5 houses to sing songs and preach the gospel to them, give my testimony. They will not let us come inside because in Kashmir, the Christians are considered as outcasts, untouchables. One day I went to preach, distribute tracts. I came back at 4 o'clock. I'm living in a house with 3 rooms. One room is my house. That room did not have a kitchen. I was talking about the second building. The first building, it did not have a kitchen. That was 12 by 12 feet. So when I came back, one room, my house, 2 large rooms and a kitchen that was rented by a Hindu priest who was the engineer of that city. So when I came back, I saw the engineer sitting in the porch with a few of his friends, having a tea and some snacks. I said hi to them, but they did not say hi to me because I'm an untouchable to him. And I went inside. I told my wife, Lily, let us close the door, otherwise our son may crawl out. And if he will crawl out, these people may give some snacks, a cookie to him to eat. Now they will not give it in his hands because we are untouchables. They won't give it into the hands. They may drop it on the floor and my son had to pick it up. So I said, let us close the door. We sat there. After some time, I knew my friends have gone. His friends have gone. I opened the door and looked, and there were only 4 chairs. And I let the door open. We do in India, all the doors we leave it open so that the cool air will flow in. My son crawled out. He could not walk on those days. He had some problem with his neck at that time. God healed him. He crawled out and then he called me. Daddy, come and see what I'm doing. So I went out to see what he's doing. I saw to my horror that he was sitting on the chair of the Hindu priest. That's a big crime. A Christian, an untouchable, sitting on the chair of a Hindu priest. I was frightened. I knew they will get angry. So I said, hey, what you have done? When I said like that, he got frightened. And he...
Wet.
Wet what?
The chair.
Wet the chair. He did not wet his pants. He did not have pants. He did not wet his shorts. He did not have shorts. Thank God he had underwear. He's 1.5 years old. He wet the chair. And, excuse my blunt language. I like blunt language. The urine was flowing on the concrete floor. The lady from the kitchen, she saw that. She was furious. An untouchable son polluted their chair. She came. She is big, short. Do you know who is the fattest woman in the Bible? The woman of Samaria. The woman of some area. She was that lady.
She was the woman of some area.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was walking like this. She came and picked up my son as though he was a dead rat by one hand and threw him out. His body flew through the air 2 feet, 3 feet and fell there. And my son started to cry, Daddy. I took my son. I walked about 15 feet away. I stood there and I was crying. Do you know why my son said, Daddy, come and see what I'm doing? Because that was the first day he sat on a chair. And this lady was cursing my son. You die, you die, you die. My wife came and pleaded with her, "Don't curse my son. I will wash your chair with Dettol." She said, "Nothing is going to purify my chair." I was asking hundreds of questions to God. Is it because I am your servant I cannot have a chair? If I should have been in my father's home, he should have been sitting on a chair. If I should have been a sergeant in the army, he should have been sitting on a chair. If my wife was a teacher in the school, he should have been sitting on a chair. Is it because I am your servant? And not only that, if I should have been in my father's village, nobody should have dared to call my son like that. You die. Because everybody calls me, everybody calls my father, sir. Almost one third of the population calls me little sir. Nobody will abuse me like that. I cried. Then I found that my son is silent. I took him from my shoulders and I found that he's unconscious. I said to my wife, "Lily, I'm taking him to a clinic. There is only one clinic, no private clinic, only government clinic." I said, "I'm taking him to the clinic." I went to the hospital. By the time the doctor has left, because it was 6 p.m. So I walked another 2 kilometers, that is 1 mile. I went to the doctor's house and knocked on the door. He opened the door. Everybody knows me. It is a small town of 3,000 people. And he looked at me and said, "Mr. Varghese, what can I do for you?" I said, "My son had a fall." I did not tell the truth. He had a fall. His head hit the concrete floor and he's not talking. He said, "Sit down." Now, I cannot sit on his chair because I'm an untouchable to him. And I sat on a rock that is meant for untouchables. I sat there. And he examined my son and he said, "Varghese, this is serious. Your son has brain injury." He gave me a long list of medicines and said, "Give this to your son and show me tomorrow morning." I was in trouble. I had only 2 rupees in my pocket. You cannot buy even 10 aspirin for 2 rupees. I walked back 3 kilometers, 1.5 miles. I came home and I told my wife, "I don't have the money." She said, "That is okay. Let's pray." We prayed, went to sleep. Next day morning, she said, "I have bad news." I said, "What can be worse?" She said, "We have no rice, no wheat flour, no sugar, no tea leaves." I said, "Lily, I don't feel like going out and preaching. We are going to have a forced fasting and prayer. Let us pray." We prayed up to 10 o'clock. Then somebody came and knocked on our door. My wife started to do like this. I told you what it means when an Indian woman will do it. She said, "We have a guest. In India, we don't ask, would you like to have tea or coffee? We make a cup of tea, put double sugar, whether you are diabetic or not.
It's true.
And give it to them." She said, "We have a guest. We don't have any tea leaves." I said, "Keep quiet. Maybe the person will go away." But that person did not go. After half a minute, he knocked on the door again and spoke in my language. Now, there is nobody who speaks my language. I'm coming from extreme South India, but I'm living in extreme North India. There is nobody who speaks my language there. If I have to find somebody who speaks my language, I have to go 30 miles to find an army soldier. But somebody was speaking my language. He said, "Varghese, brother, open the door for me." I went and opened the door. Do you know what I saw? I saw a man standing there with a chair on his head. An Air Force pilot. A man who is flying the fighting jets at 40,000 feet high. He was standing there with a chair on his head. His name is Koshi. I said, "Koshi, we knew each other. We worshiped together for 1 year when I was a saved Christian in the army." I said, "Koshi, how come you are standing here with a chair?" He said, "Just to give me way. Let me put the chair down and sit." He put the chair there. He sat on it. I still remember the way he looked at me. He was looking at me like this. I said, "Koshi, tell me, how come you are standing here with a chair on your head?" He said, "Last evening, I had another pilot who visited us. And when he came, I was taking out two garden chairs to put it in the garden and take a cup of tea. And when I was taking those two chairs, God spoke to me. You know P.G. Varghese? I know. You have been to his house? Yes, I was in his house twice. You know that he does not have a chair? Yes, I know that. Then he told me, he's an Anglican, born-again Christian. He said, then God told him that he must take one chair, bring it, and give it to me. He traveled 50 kilometers, 30 miles, to taking a, he did not travel, walk. He came in a jeep. He carried it on his head. He came in a jeep. See, I said, Koshi, what time was that? He said, 4 o'clock, I left the office, 4:30 I reached home, 4:45 that man came. It was 5 o'clock. That was the time I was standing outside, asking God, God, is it because I am your servant, I cannot have a chair? When I prayed that prayer, God heard my prayer and spoke to a person who is who was living 30 miles away and said, take a chair and give it to him. I have a prayer answering God. I have that chair with me. Pastor Brian saw that. Did you see that? He saw that. You come, I'll show you that. When I go from one place to another, I don't take anything. I don't take any cooking vessels. I don't take my refrigerator. I don't take anything. But I take that chair. Yeah. As a testimony, if anybody will come to my home, let him be a Hindu, Muslim, anybody, government officer, FBI, whosoever it may be, they will hear that story. I have a prayer answering God. Next week, I got two more chairs. On the third month, no, not yet, not yet. We are coming over there.
He's just getting warmed up.
After 3 months, my father sent me that big chair where I can put my leg up and relax.
I've sat in that chair too. Yeah.
My father, who kicked me out of his house, he sent me two chairs. I have these two chairs with me. The one that Koshi bought and one chair, that easy, lazy chair, which my father has sent me. Hear me. So I had 5 chairs. One day I went to preach. I came back at 4 o'clock. And then I saw my wife standing there praying like this. God, I'm living in a house of 10 by 10 feet. Don't send any more chair. I don't have any place to go. I have a prayer answering God, and the same God is your God.
Yeah, and see, what was even more important, I mean, it's good to have chairs, amen. But what was more important in that moment was that you knew that God cared.
God cared.
And that you weren't alone.
No.
And that he hadn't forgotten you. And that you hadn't gone off to Catra and just gone off God's radar screen.
No.
And that's why you keep those chairs. You can have as many chairs as you want now. You have a nice apartment and all of that. I've been there. But you keep those chairs.
As a testimony to my children, grandchildren, and every visitor.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it isn't that God wants people to suffer, but it just seems that it's necessary at some point for the kingdom of God to come. Not everybody's called to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I call it apostolic poverty. It wasn't the poverty of injustice. It wasn't the poverty of simply there not being enough. It was a voluntary choice that you made. You chose that life for the sake of the gospel. And you stayed there in that condition for I don't know how many years.
5 years.
5 years. And then breakthroughs came. But as painful and as difficult as those 5 years were. I mean, Perry and I have our own stories. I mean, we had chairs, but still, you know, we have our own stories of not being enough, really, and not having enough, and then praying and miracles happen and all of that. In the midst of it, it's not very enjoyable. In fact, you don't like it at all.
Yep.
And yet it seems to be necessary to form you into the kind of people that can do that kind of thing.
The church planting pioneer missionaries, they will go through suffering.
Yeah.
But the second generation, they will enjoy the blessings of God. So I'm a first pioneer missionary. But it is good that I suffered. I was sitting on that chair when I heard that only one chair. That was it. I was sitting on that chair. I got a letter from Dubai. If you know where is Dubai, it's a land of luxury.
It is.
Everything.
Yeah.
better than America.
It's the wealthiest nation per capita in the world, United Arab Emirates, yep. And they're fabulously wealthy.
Their wealth is not known. In America, everybody's wealth is known.
Yeah.
I got a letter from there. One of my relatives, he wrote me a letter. He said, Varghese, you know Urdu, which is the language of Kashmir and Pakistan, Urdu. You know Urdu. I read Urdu Bible. I preach in Urdu. He said, we got 1,000 sweepers from Pakistan coming to Dubai. 1,000 at one time. And they are all living in tents. Recently, we came to know that they are all Christians. And they don't have a pastor. Would you like to come as a pastor? He said, we will give you a visa. We will give you an apartment in the mission, American Mission Hospital. We will give you a car. We will give you a pay. Would you like to come? God is my witness. I did not even pray about it. I was suffering. My son was going without milk. I had only one chair. Here I got a wonderful invitation from Dubai, the richest country, to go there and to be pastor of 1,000 people, ready-made. But I did not even pray. But thank God that I did not think about it. Thank God I did not pray, go there. Because I did not go, much happened in India and is happening.
Amen. Amen. That was a long time ago.
1975.
Yeah. But IET is a strong church planting mission. I'm going to say one more thing. Word of Life supports. We help. We sponsor conferences. We'll be doing the next one in 2014. I don't know how many pastors' conferences I've done. But you know, it's our church that, you know, finances that. And I want you to just say, I've done maybe, how many have I done? Do you know?
Maybe 10.
Yeah, something like that. So, and we bring, between 1,000 and I don't know how many pastors. The one in Orissa a few years ago, a lot of people.
7,000 people came finally.
Yeah, and we pay in everything, and they wear me out. I just preach.
No, we asked you to preach only 3 times a day.
No, it was more than that, but okay. That was 3 times in the morning.
Yeah. One in the evening.
And in the evening.
Yeah.
Okay, well, only 4 times a day. All right. So, but I want you to communicate. I want you to tell the people, is that valuable? Is that worth it? Does anybody get anything out of that?
See, there was a great man of God by name John Austin. He was my spiritual father, mentor. He asked me once, Varghese, if you will have plenty of money and you have a passion to evangelize India, what will you do? I said, I will conduct more and more and more pastors' seminar. There is no better way to keep the fire going in a nation, in India. Because in this country, you have internet, you have books, you have CDs, you have too many. But in India, there are languages which does not even have 10 books, Christian books. And those people, they don't have a magazine. So what they will do? How they will hear the gospel? How they will renew what they know? So the only way is pastor's seminar. Now we are the fastest growing mission in India by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Last year, we planted 611 churches. We have planted 611 churches. That is 1.7 churches every day. Within the next 12 hours, it is daytime in India. We will be planting 2 churches somewhere in India. People come and ask me, what is the secret, how it is happening? Number one, we have people to pray for us. And secondly, we conduct pastor's seminar 3 times a year. And we bring in preachers like Pastor Brian Sant and good preachers from all over the world. But the problem is we don't get enough preachers who can finance it. It costs money to bring in the pastors from different places.
Yeah, because we have to not only hold the event, but we have to provide their transportation to get there.
We feed them, we give them accommodation, and most of the time we will give them a gift. It may be a pair of dress, it may be 100 Bibles. So it costs money. But since we met Pastor Brian and myself, we had been working together, and we invite the pastors to come in one area, and whatever he will teach, they will write it down.
They
will write it down. All of them. They will have a notebook, they will have their Bible, they will have a pen, they will write it down, and then they will go and teach to the pastors under them. They have pastors under them. They will go and teach to them. And those pastors will be teaching whatever they learned in 3 days in the coming 3 to 4 months. That means whatever he taught them, it will be saturated down to the lowest level in 6 months' time. It keeps the fire going. Mm-hmm. I really wish that I have a few more friends, at least 5 more friends, but I don't have, from this country, who will come to India, willing to pay the cost, the expense, and preach for 4 or 5 days. There are many people, you may meet many people who will say that we had been to India. I'll tell them, I can tell you where they have been to India. They were in South India,
right,
where the Christian population is very thick. But we are working in North India. No, almost nobody wants to come. But Pastor Brian, he has a burden. He should have gone to South India. He should have gone to Northeast India. I can arrange a meeting for him. But every time he's coming. And next year also, in the month of November, he'll be coming for 5 days to preach in the capital of Orissa, where the persecution is very high. Because of the teachings we got from him, our brothers have got a renewed vision, a burden for the souls, and they got wonderful messages.
Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand up. Let's have some musicians up here. And here's what I want PG to do. He's a man of faith, and he shared some miracles. I mean, he can just keep you spellbound hours on end with what he has seen God do. But I told PG I was going to do this much. I want him to take a moment, and I want him to pray specifically for those of you that are trusting God for some area of provision. You're feeling the pressure in your personal life, in your business, and you need God. Who am I talking to? Who says, I really... Maybe just come up and line up across here in the front, if you would. And I'm just going to ask the man of God to offer a prayer of faith. And this is a mighty apostle of God. He has faith. He has apostolic faith. And I'm going to ask him to pray that God would be at work to provide in your life. And I believe we're going to see a miracle. Amen.
I believe in miracles, because the Bible talks about miracle from Genesis 1. It's a book of miracles.
Yeah.
I have written 52 books, and most of them talks about miracles. Almost all the books talks about miracles. I see miracles every day, just like that chair. One day we did not have food. We were crying. I said, Lord, even if I go hungry, let not my son go hungry. Then I heard somebody calling from outside and said, Sir, Varghese sir. Nobody calls an untouchable sir in India. But somebody was calling me my name and sir. I went and opened the door. I found the milkman. There is only one shop selling milk. He was standing outside and he was calling me sir. Never he called me sir. But that day he called me sir. I said, yes, did you call me or somebody else? He said, I called you. What is the problem? He said, here is 2 liter milk. It is for you. He never took milk to any house in that city. Not to even the police general or anybody. There is a police general living next to my house. He never took the milk to any house. Everybody has to go to his shop and buy the milk. But that day, in the evening, I met him and I asked him why. He said, today your Jesus appeared to me and said that I must bring 2 liter milk and give it to you.
Yeah, wow.
I believe in miracles. I'm going to pray for a miracle for you.
Yes.
It may be healing. It may be a provision. It may be money. It may be an automobile. It may be a house. It may be paying some bills. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have to know. Even if I know, I cannot help you. But my Jesus is the provider. He's the problem solver. He's the miracle working God. We must not use the American excuse card, but we must use our master's card, which is faith.
Yeah.
We are going to use it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, since the day I became a born-again Christian, I had been preaching about this God who is a wonder-working God. From the very next week, I'm seeing miracles after miracles. Even when I was in the army, I've seen tremendous miracles of deliverance, provision. And in my Christian ministry from the very first day, as I was getting into the bus, Lord, I did not have the money. But Brother T.C. Chaco, he put 70 rupees in my pocket. Lord, in the same way, I'm asking for a provision for these brothers and sisters. The provision of healing, the provision of money, the provision of peace, the provision of prosperity, the provision of a job.
Yes, Lord.
The provision of intelligence.
Yes,
Lord. A provision in the area where they have a need. I don't know what is the need, but I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, let there be a miracle.
Yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of Jesus Christ, I pray from the left to the right, from the right to the left, from the back to the front,
yes.
From the front to the back, on each every one of them. Lord, I pray, let the Holy Spirit come and sit. And Lord, let there be a miracle. As I am praying, God, you touch them. And
yes,
let them
Lord.
Receive a miracle. In the name of Jesus
In the
Christ.
Name of Jesus.
You are a miracle working God.
Yes, Lord.
Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you did in the Gospel of Matthew, you will do it today. What you did in the Gospel of Mark, you will do it today. What you did in the Gospel of Luke, you will do it today. What you did in the Gospel of John, you mm-hmm. will do it today.
Yes,
what
Lord.
You did in
yes.
the Book of Acts, you will do it today because
yes,
you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
So what you did in the four Gospels, what you did through the apostles in the Book of Acts, Lord, do it now
yes, Lord.
In the lives of these people because they are needy. You are helping God. Heavenly Father, I pray, let there be a miracle. As we are going to sleep, let the angels work. Let the angels work for them.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Let them have the miracle in their home. Let them have a miracle in their business.
Yes, Lord.
Let them have
yes,
a miracle
Lord.
In their finances.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be a miracle. Let there be a miracle.
Yes, Lord.
Let there be a miracle in their
yes,
body,
Lord.
In their home, in their finance. In their prosperity, let there be a miracle provided by
yes.
God Almighty. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Look at this. Look right here. P.G. Vargas and I, we agree as touching that the provision that you need in your life is being sent from heaven now. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And I want you to believe that what's coming your way is a man with a chair on his head or whatever it is you need. Come on, if he can send a man with a chair on his head.
Your chair is coming.
To P.G. Vargas in Catra. The angel with the chair on his head is coming your way. Say, I believe that. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands and bless his name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know.